طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Okay, this is our first session for the second level, Medina course, second level, مستوى الثاني, فقه. And in this class, and since we finished Medina Book 2, we wanted to take some of the other courses that are related to the second level of the Medina course, and from amongst those courses, yani we decided to start with fiqh. Although my own heart was attached to hadith, but in any case, no problem. Inshallah, if Allah allows us to finish fiqh, then we'll do hadith also from this same course, Al-Mustawa Thani, the second level of the Medina program. Let's just read, yani, as opposed to me explaining any further, let's read, yani, what is contained here. Try to follow in the Arabic as best as possible until we read, we complete the introduction, then we go to the first chapter, which is Sifatul Wudu, that is the description of ablution, yani according to Islam, according to the Sharia. Okay, on the first page we see that the title of the book is Al-Fiqh. So what is Al-Fiqh? Jurisprudence? Okay, that's a word that's used in English, right? Jurisprudence. What else? Anything else we can say? What about linguistically? What is the meaning of fiqh? Linguistically in Arabic. Al-fahm. Al-fiqh means al-fahm. Al-fahm, understanding. So what are we talking about fiqh here? We mean understanding the Islamic legislations. Understanding the Islamic legislations. And specifically, there's different categories of fiqh. There's fiqh of ibadah, worship, and there's fiqh of mu'amalat, yani dealings, interactions, business and social dealings and stuff like that. And there's different categories of fiqh. Fiqh of marriage, fiqh of government, all kinds of fiqh, right? The fiqh that we want to talk about here is fiqh al-ibadah. Yani al-wudu, tahara, salat, and so on like this, okay? And this level, this fiqh book does not deal with a zakat and siyam, but it does deal with a tahara, it deals with a salat, and it deals with yani hajj and umrah. Alright, so we're gonna look at the title first, al-fiqh, okay? Jurisprudence or understanding the Islamic legislations. It says, al-fiqh li ghayri an-natiqina bil-lughati al-arabiyyati. What is the meaning of al-fiqh li ghayri an-natiqina bil-lughati al-arabiyyati? Li ghayri. Ghayri means other than. For other than an-natiqina. An-natiq means speaking. Nataqa means to speak. Other than the speakers of Arabic language. Meaning, other than the native Arabic language speakers. Okay, this is fiqh for other than native Arabic language speakers. Because why? Because for people who are learning Arabic. The purpose of this fiqh is for us to learn Arabic. Okay, it says manahij. Mahad ta'lim al-lughat al-arabiyyah. And this is the curriculum or the syllabus for the mahad. Mahad means the institute for learning ta'lim al-lughat al-arabiyyah, the Arabic language. Al-jami' al-islamiyyah means the Islamic university. Bil-madinati al-munawwara, yani at the city of Medina. Yani Islamic university at or in the city of Medina. Okay, so this is the manahij, yani from the curriculum or the syllabus of the Institute for Learning Arabic Language. Then it says al-mustawa, and that's la alif maksura, al-mustawa al-thani. Al-mustawa means what?
Level.
And al-thani, al-awwal al-thani, second level. Okay. So we just in this group here we just finished yani the grammar course for al-mustawa al-thani. So now we want to look at fiqh. And it says prepared by yani i'dad means prepared by Abu Sulaiman Muhammad ibn Abdul Azim ibn Baker al-Amriki. طيب al-muqaddimah page 2 al-muqaddimah. What is al-muqaddimah? Introduction. Okay, this introduction is just telling us something about the book. Okay, this is not the core of our subject for the class, but we just want to have an idea, what is this book about? So whenever you buy a book, or if somebody gives you a book as a gift, or you go to the library and borrow a book, before you start reading the book, you should read the introduction. The introduction is there for a reason. Now we could skip right into the first lesson, but there's a reason for this introduction being here. The introduction tells you something about the book. The people who wrote it, what they intended, what are their objectives, what is their style, their manner, how did they write the book, how do you use it? When you don't read the introduction, sometimes you open the book and start reading, you don't know what you're doing. When you read the introduction, you have a clear idea. It's like a map how to go through this book. It's telling you how to use it. You know, it's like you buy a brand new washing machine, you don't read the instructions. You just start turning dials and buttons. And then when it breaks down, you say, what's wrong with this thing? Brand new, it doesn't work. Well, you didn't know how to use it. And they sent it with a manual, right? But you didn't have time to read it. So we're going to take time and read this, okay? We don't want to break this washing machine down before it gets started. Now, المقدمات, the introduction. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. There's an extra shadda up there. There's some printing mistakes in this book, and you just ignore it, right? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We know what that means. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya wal-mursaleen. And may the salat and the salam be upon the most noble of the prophets and messengers. Who is who? Nabiyuna or Nabiyina, yani ala ashraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen, Nabiyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. Okay, so this is the way we usually begin, yani writings, praising Allah and making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani Nabiyuna, our Prophet Muhammad, and upon his family and his companions. And sometimes alihi may mean his family, or may mean his followers, the Muslim ummah, and sahbihi, his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Yani unlike the Shia, who they want to exclude some companions of the Prophet, who they curse and they disregard and they speak ill of. No, we say, وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ, all of them, every single one of his companions. أما بعد, after this, فَهَذَا مُقَرَّرُ الْفِقْهِ لِطَلَبَةِ الْمُسْتَوَى الثَّانِي. فَهَذَا, this book is the مُقَرَّر, meaning the syllabus or the curriculum of fiqh. لِطَلَبَةِ, طَلَبَة is the plural of طَالِب, and it's the plural, it's one of the plurals of طَالِب. We learned another plural of طَالِب, right, is what? Tulab. This is another plural, talaba. Yani for the students of the second level, al-mustawa al-thani. Wasifat fihi ba'du al-ibadat wasfan biluga sahla, bilugatin sahlatin muyassaratin. Yani wasifat means it has been described. Fihi, in this book, ba'd, some of the ibadat, some of the acts of worship have been described in this book with a description, wasfan, yani a description that is bilugati sahlati muyassarati, yani with a language that is sahla, simple, and muyassara, easy. Yani this ibadah is described here in very simple, easy language. Yani because what? Because the intention is to address people who are not native Arabic speakers in a language that's easy for them to understand. That's our purpose. And in the course of this, we're learning new words, new expressions, and we're going to learn some new grammatical points. Question, Mustafa? Huh? Wasfan? Yani wasfan means yani wasifat wasfan. It's like saying you have been described with a description. A description. Description that is easy. Simple, easy Arabic language. Now.
Yeah. Would it be possible if one of the students read and if along the way
well, in the lesson, yeah, we'll do it in the lesson for sure. It's mandatory as part of this course, that reading. Just, I want to get through the introduction and might take some time to get through it if we do that, but in the lesson everybody has to read, okay? That's part of the lesson, as you'll see, that part of the lesson is that the lesson should be read by the teacher, it should be read by the students. Should be explained by the teacher, should be explained by the students. And then there are some exercises, questions that we have to do. إن من أهم أهداف تدريس هذه المادة أن يتعلم الطالب وصف هذه العبادات. يعني إن من أهم الأهداف, from amongst, من أهم الأهداف, من أهم الأهداف, from amongst the most important, يعني objectives. أهداف is the plural of what? Hadaf, hadaf, from amongst the most important objectives, tadris, of teaching, hadihi al-mada, this subject, from amongst the most important objectives of teaching this subject, and yata'allama at-talibu, that the student learns, a description of these acts of worship. Wasfa, that the student learns wasfa, hadhi al-ibadat, these acts of worship. Ibadat is the plural of ibadah. And additionally, in addition to the description of these acts of worship, we should also learn وَشَيْئًا مِنْ أَحْكَامِهَا, and something of its legal rulings, some of the legal rulings related to these acts of worship, مِنْ خِلَالِ, during هذا الوصف, during this description. We will also learn some of the أحكام, or legal rulings, of each one of these acts of worship. Additionally, وَأَنْ يَتَعَلَّمْ مِنْ خِلَالِهِ جَوَانِبْ مِنَ اللُّغَةِ الْعَرَبِيَةِ, and also to learn, yani during our study of these acts of worship, جوانب من اللغة العربية, yani some aspects of Arabic language, meaning some grammatical rules and points and things from Arabic language. So the first thing, we're learning the description of the acts of worship. Second thing, we're learning some of the legal rulings related to that act of worship. And the third thing, we want to learn what? Some aspects of Arabic language. وَأَهَمُّهَا, and from the most important of those aspects of Arabic language that we want to cover, من وأهمها المفردات الخاصة بهذه العبادات, يعني the vocabulary that are special and particular to these acts of worship. So this is one of the things that, يعني as far as the aspects of Arabic language, we may learn some grammatical rules, we may learn some different things, يعني vocabulary words we may learn, but especially from amongst the most important thing are the مفردات, يعني the vocabulary words that are khasa, that are particular or special, particularly related to these acts of worship. And some of the special words that are related to wudu, or ghusl, or hajj, or umrah. Yani what is ihram? What is miqat? Yani these are special words that are used for hajj, for example. We want to learn some of these technical special terms. فَعَلَى الْمُدَرِّسِ أَنْ يُوَلِّي الْجَانِبَيْنِ الشرعي واللغوي اهتماما مناسبا لكل منهما. يعني فعل المدرس. So it is upon the teacher أن يولي الجانبين, to take care to both sides. In this study there are two aspects, the شرعي aspect, the legal, يعني شريع aspect, and the لغوي aspect, the linguistic aspect. And the teacher has to give care to both of these. Yani what we're learning concerning the Sharia and worship, we have to give care to that. And in addition, we have to give care to the aspect linguistic side. Because this is for us learning Arabic, but it's also for us learning about the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reference to worship here specifically. So the teacher should give yani ihtimaman, great care, munasiban, that is suitable for each one of these aspects, the linguistic aspect and the Sharia aspect. Yani الجانبين الشرعي واللغوي. شرعي شريعة, لغوي language. يتبع المدرس الخطوات التالية في التدريس هذا المقرر. يتبع المدرس, the teacher should follow, from تبع يتبع, teacher should follow الخطوات, the following steps التالية في التدريس, in teaching هذا المقرر, this syllabus or this curriculum. What are the steps that they're telling the teacher to follow? We'll try to follow them as best we can, as much as we can. Number one, يشرح الموضوع بدون النظر في الكتاب. And the teacher should explain the subject, the موضوع, without looking, بدون النظر, without looking at the book. يعني just give a general explanation before reading from the book, okay? So that we begin to hear يعني something about the subject before we read it. Number two, يقرأ الموضوع في الكتاب. Then the teacher actually reads word by word, line by line, what's in the book. ويشرح التراكيب والمفردات. And the teacher, when he's reading the subject from the book, he should be explaining the تراكيب and the مفردات. تراكيب means يعني the expressions, يعني where words are connected to one another, certain expressions, explain these expressions. And the مفردات, the individual words, explaining each individual word. Number three, the student now, يقرأ الطلاب الموضوع في الكتاب. The students, they have to read the subject in the book. Yani, the students will also read the subject that the teacher is reading to them. They will also read it. Number four, يصفوا الطلاب العبادة الواردة في الدرس. And then the students, they will describe the ibadah, the act of worship that's mentioned in the lesson. And they will read the subject and then they will attempt to describe it. Yani, from what they understood and what they remember, they will describe it. Explain how to make wudu, how to make ghusl, how to make tayammum. Number five, يسأل المدرس الطلاب أسئلة للتأكد من فهمهم الدرس. The teacher would then ask the students questions. للتأكد, يعني to confirm, for the purpose of being sure, to confirm their understanding of the lesson, to be sure that they have understood the lesson. Certain questions will be asked, okay? So there are questions here, inshallah, that we will ask to make sure we have understood. Number six, يوجه الطلاب أسئلة إلى زملائهم. I don't know how much of this we will do, but we'll see, inshallah. يوجه الطلاب, the students then will direct questions to their classmates. Yani, maybe you want to ask some Nasir some questions, Abu Bakr. You can direct some questions to him. Check him out, test him. Number seven, يحل الطلاب التمارين في دفاترهم خارج الفصل. The students, يحلو, يعني will solve, or يعني do the تمارين, the exercises. يعني you have to do the exercises that are given after the lesson in their notebooks, in your notebooks. خارج الفصل, يعني meaning you will write out the answers to the questions that come with each lesson. خارج الفصل, not during the class, outside of the classroom, meaning on your own time, at home, as homework. Now, wallahu nas'alu an yanfa'a bihi abna' al-muslimin innahu sami'un mujib. And we ask Allah to benefit the abna' al-muslimin, meaning yani the young people from amongst the Muslims, indeed. And we'll add to that yani the aba' al-muslimin also, because we have some old folks here. Innahu sami'un mujib. Indeed, he is the one who hears, yani who listens to our yani requests, wa mujib, and he is the one who answers and responds. And he asks Allah, Allah will answer you. And this is the introduction. It's brief, yani, but it gives us an idea of what is intended here and the process that should be followed. And it's a suggested process. We'll follow it as best we can, inshallah. I would say that each lesson, yani the text of the lesson in the beginning that we're going to read and discuss and explain, yani should be read several times. Meaning, during the course of a week, yani if a person sat down and it took you 15 minutes to read this, or 20 minutes, or half an hour, or 10 minutes, it's not very long, most of them are relatively short, yani try to read it at least once a day, until you start to actually memorize it. Because you want to, first of all, you want to be able to read it well. And second of all, you want to make sure you understand it, and you want to actually memorize some of it, because some of this is worth memorizing. Because this is something, this is our worship, this is what we do, this is our life. So we want to make sure we have it, and we have it yani well, that we understand it well. Okay, so yani on page 4 we begin with the first lesson, Sifatu al wudu. Sifatu al wudu. What is the meaning of Sifatu al wudu? Description of wudu. What's wudu in English? Ablution. Fayyib. Description of ablution. This title is what kind of Arabic expression? Mudaf al-idafa. It's mudaf, mudafun ilayh, right? Sifa is mudaf, and al-wudu is mudafun ilayhi majroor. That's why it has kasra, right? So this is yani the title is also part of the lesson, right? And this is mudaf, mudafun ilayhi. Sifatu al-wudu'i, the description of ablution. This description they have given in 9 points. If somebody studies the fiqh of wudu, maybe you can read a whole book on wudu. For sure you can read. There are books written on wudu, whole book just on wudu. So we have 9 lines here, right? So it's clear that this is a simplified explanation of wudu. Okay, and that's what it's intended to be, simple. And it's not intended to be difficult and long and drawn out and detailed. and mention every ikhtilaf and every point about which there might be some discussion. But it's intended to be very, very simple. So it's easy for you to read, easy for you to understand, and easy for you to retain. So what are we going to talk when we talk about wudu? We're going to talk about number one, yani getting some water to make wudu with, right? Because if you don't have water, you're going to make tayammum. But we're talking about wudu, so you have to have some water, right? Second thing, any act of worship must be preceded with intention in the heart. And sometimes, yani it might be, like in Hajj, yani a person makes Hajj, some scholars said, yani there's intention on the tongue in Hajj. When you say what? Labayk Allahumma labayk. Labayk Allahumma bi umrah. Labayk Allahumma bi hajj. Yani this is intention that I intend, here I am, O Allah, with yani the intention to perform umrah hajj. But generally, intention is in the heart. Okay, so when we talk about intention, yani you bring the water, you make intention to make wudu, and then you begin the process by mentioning the name of Allah. No, I'm going back to wudu, I'm sorry. Okay, by mentioning the name of Allah, and then you start washing the parts of the body that should be washed, washing the hands, rinsing the mouth, washing the face, including, yani, running the fingers through the beard, washing the hands up to the elbows, wiping the head and the ears, and washing the feet up to the ankles, and rubbing between the toes. Okay, this is a basic, simple, yani, description of the performance of wudu. Okay, so let's read it. Yani, I'll read it, and you'll also read it, and we'll translate, inshallah, and we'll discuss it. Yani, whatever questions we may have, we'll try to bring out some of these points in whatever time that remains here. Okay, sifatul wudu. Point number one. يُحْضِرُ الْمُسْلِمُ الْمَاءَ التَّهُورَ. If there's anything there where you need to put a vowel in, put the vowel in. Okay, so when you have to read it, inshallah, you'll be sure how to read it. Okay, it should be يُحْضِرُ الْمُسْلِمُ الْمَاءَ التَّهُورَ. Okay, who knows what is the meaning of this? يُحْضِرُ الْمُسْلِمُ الْمَاءَ التَّهُورَ. نعم. Okay, to bring, to have present, yes?
Pure water.
نعم. Okay, there can be some discussion about this, but we'll keep it a little bit simple for now, and we'll go into details, okay? يُحْضِرُ is from the verb أَحْضَرَ يُحْضِرُ. It's the fourth form from the باب المزيد أَفْعَلَ. يُحْضِرُ, to bring forth something, to make it present. So the Muslim brings الْمَاءَ. الْمُسْلِمُ here is the fa'il, the one who's doing the action, so it's مَرْفُون with ضمة. الْمَاءَ is the مَفْعُولٌ بِ, the object of the verb, so that's why it has فَتَّة. And at-tahura, yani is what? A knot describing what kind of water. At-tahura. This word at-tahura in brief, okay, I'm not holding you responsible for this, but I just want to mention that at-tahura is with fatha, not with dhamma. And there's a difference between tahur and tuhur, just like there's a difference between wadu and wudu. Wudu with dhamma is the process of ablution, and wadu is the water that's used for ablution. Tahur, yani, it is the water that is used for the purification, as opposed to tuhur, which is the process of purification. Okay? So tahur means the water that is used for purification. And also, this tahur, this al-ma'ad, al-tahur, it is a water that is pure within itself, and permissible to be used for purification. Because there's some water that's pure, it's not najis, but you can't use it for purification. So this, we're talking about tahur here, which means the water that is tahir, pure in itself, and mutahir, it's a purifier. Okay, don't worry so much about that now, that's not really a part of this lesson, but it's a note that might be of some benefit, that there's water that's tahir, pure within itself, but you can't use it for purification. And then there's water that's also mutahir, that can be used for purification. Yani it's tahir and mutahir. And that's what we're talking about here. The water that's pure within itself, and it's also permissible to be used for purification. Now. Tuhur with dhamma is the process of purification. And tahur is the water that you use for purification. Yani wudu is the process of ablution, and wadu is the water that's used in ablution. And this benefit came from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation of wudu. He's always explaining like fine points like this, you know. Okay, he's definitely al-faqih. Now, point number two. Yanwi al-wudu'a. Yanwi is from nawa, yanwi, to intend. Yanwi, after he brings the water, he intends, he makes intention for al-wudu'a. And again, al-wudu'a is with fatha, right? Because it's the object of the verb, the maf'ulun bi. Number three. Yaqulu, he says, huh? And at this point, after he makes his intention in his heart, he says, Bismillah. And notice, yani the scholars of the Sunnah say that here we use the Basmala. I mean, here we use the Tasmiyah. I'm sorry, Tasmiyah. Yani the Tasmiyah is what is legislated here, that is simply saying Bismillah. Not saying Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. In many books you see, in the beginning of wudu you say Bismillah Rahman Rahim. No, not so. There's no proof for saying Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Rather, there's proof for saying Bismillah only. And there's a difference between Tasmiyah, saying Bismillah, and Basmalah, saying Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Okay, anyway, yani these are some points that are not intended here at this point, but we just mention it as we go on quickly, in case, yani, it concerns you. Maybe you, this is something you're interested in, okay? He says, Bismillah, not Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Number four, يغسلوا كفيه ثلاثا. يغسلوا, from غسل يغسلوا. He washes. كفيه, yani the كف is the palm of the hand up to the wrist. The palm of the hand only, up to the wrist. يغسلوا كفيه. Yani originally the word كفي is كفان or كفين with نون, but the نون is deleted when it became an idafa with the pronoun who or he. Okay, so كفيه means his two palms. He washes both of his palms. كفيه. كفي is dual. Two means two palms. ثلاثن. ثلاثن means how many times he washes them? Three times.
Okay, in this note, they could use washing the hand, to the palm, and but that's all.
Well, hand, akhi, in Arabic, can mean here. But hand also means up to the elbow. And it means up to the shoulder in Arabic. Hand means all of that. So when you say cafe, it's clear you mean up to the wrist. If you say hand, it's not clear. Naam. And we'll see when we talk about, yani, further about the topic here, yani, in this, as we go down. يغسلو كفيهي. What is intended? He just wash up to the wrist only, three times. Number five. يتمضمضو ويستنشقوا ثلاثا. يعني يتمضمضوا, يعني تمضمض means to clean out, to rinse out the mouth. ويستنشقوا means what? استنشاق. Nose. To sniff water into the nose. Now, sniff water into the nose. So this here, point number five, is two things, right? Meaning the mouth, rinsing the mouth and cleaning the nose. And perhaps the wisdom of mentioning them together is because the closest to the confirmed sunnah and the last practice of the Prophet ﷺ is that he used to rinse the mouth and nose together with one handful of water, not separately. Although there's some proof, yani this is a disputed fiqh issue, we don't want to go into that now, but there's some proof that yani it's permissible to wash them separately, especially in the case where a person has difficulty washing them together, a new Muslim, maybe they have a hard time doing this, or even not a person who's not a Muslim. But what is closer to the confirmed last practice of the Prophet is taking one hand of water and taking some into the mouth and some into the nose at the same time. يَطَمَضْمَضُ, to take water into the mouth and swirl it around in the mouth, and يَسْتَنْشِقُ, to take water and he sniff water up into the nose. And of course, the water in the mouth and in the nose has to be ejected, right? You don't keep it in there. Number six. يَغْسِلُ وَجْهَهُ ثَلَاثًا. يَغْسِلُ, again, to wash his face. The wedge is face. ثَلَاثًا, three times. And even though it's permissible to use one hand, as Al-Imam An-Nawawi says in the explanation of Sahih Muslim, and there are some narrations proving that, but what is better and more perfect in washing is to use both hands. يَغْسِلُ يَعْنِي وَجْهَهُ. He washes his face, and from the hairline to the chin, from ear to ear, that's the whole of the face, three times. وَيُخَلِّلُ لِحْيَتَهُ بِالْمَاءِ. يُخَلِّلُ, خَلَّلَ, means to run the fingers through the beard, through his beard. For men, if their beard is heavy, is big, they should run their fingers through it, if they can. يُخَلِّلُ لِحْيَتَهُ بِالْمَاءِ with water. Number 7, يَغْسِلُ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ ثَلَاثًا. يَغْسِلُ, again, wash. يَدَيْهِ, يَدَيْهِ originally is يَدَيْن, يَدَان or يَدَيْن, two hands, but the noon is deleted because of the ضعف of the pronoun he here, which represents who, right? يَدَيْن, يعني يَدَيْهِ. He washes his two hands. Notice this time he didn't use كَف, he used hands, because he doesn't intend up to here, but he intends to go further than the wrist, so he used the word hand, because hand includes up to the wrist, up to the elbow, and up to the shoulder. So he used يَدَيْهِ here, but he clarified which yed he means. Does he mean yed up to the wrist, up to the elbow, or up to the shoulder? He clarified it. He said إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ. Al-mirfaq is the elbow. So here he's saying wash the hand up to the shoulder, no, up to the elbow. And the best opinion concerning is Allah knows best. Allah knows best. The best opinion, it means up to and including the elbow. Because ila yani can mean up to something, or it may mean including it. And some of the scholars of the Sunnah have a long discussion about this. Allah knows best, the best opinion. As I see it, from what I have read from the scholars of the Sunnah, is that up to means including the elbows. Yani up to and also washing the elbow. Not going up to the shoulder, but washing the elbow also. You should wash the elbow also. Including the whole of the elbow should be washed. يَغْسِلُ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ. Here, مِرْفَقَيْنِ, huh?
If you extend it, that's مُسْتَحَبْ.
When you say extend it to where?
Above
the elbow. Above a little. Now. يَغْسِلُ يَدَيْهِ. يَدَيْهِ is dual, right? يَدَيْن. And مِرْفَقَيْن is also dual. مِرْفَق is the elbow. مِرْفَقَيْن means two. Both elbows three times. ثلاثًا. Number 8. يَمْسَحُ رَأْسَهُ مَالْعُذُنَيْنِ مَرَّةً وَاحِدَةً. يَمْسَهُ. Here's a new word now, okay? We had يَغْسِلُ so many times. Washing the palms, washing the face, washing the hands at the elbow. Now we have يَمْسَحُ. From مَسَحَ means to wipe. To wipe. Not wash, but to wipe. يَمْسَحُ رَأْسَهُ. Wipe his head. Along with الْأُذُنَيْنِ. الْأُذُن means what?
Ears.
Udhunain, two ears. Okay? Notice the duals here. Yadehi, kafehi, yani mirfaqaini, udhunaini. These are all dual words. He washes the head along with the two ears. Meaning when he washes the head, he also washes the two ears without going and get fresh water. Same water he used to wipe his head, he also washes the two ears with the same water. Marratan wahidatan. And this is what is more commonly mentioned in the confirmed hadith, that the head is wiped once. But as Al-Imam Al-Zayla'i, a great scholar of hadith from the Hanafi Madhab, Imam Al-Zayla'i said that he narrated a hadith in his book of the washing of the head three times. And it is authentic. Naam. And Allah knows best. But yani what is more commonly mentioned in the sunnah is one time, and that's what's yani preferable. But if a person does it three times, there's no blame on them. And if he did it three times, sometimes at least, to get that sunnah, then it's good. Sometimes at least. Naam, yamsahu ra'asahu ma'al udhunayn marratan wahida. One time. And final point, yaghsilu rijlayhi ila al-ka'bayni. And he washes again, went back to washing again. Washing, rijl means the foot or the leg. In this case, it's clear that he means the foot, because what? Up to the ankles. Okay, up to the ankles. Rijlayhi is from rijl or rijlain, 2 feet, but the noon is deleted because of the idhafa to the pronoun he. So he washes 2 feet. Ilal ka'abaini. The ka'ab means this bone here that's just above the foot, connecting the foot to the leg. The ka'abaini washes the foot up to the ka'abaini. And again, we say the same thing here that we said, ilal mirfaqaini, up to and including the ankle. Thalathan, three times. Wa yukhallilu asabi'ahu bilma'i. Asabi'ah is the plural of usbu', yani. And usbu' means finger or toe. Finger or toe. Here we're talking about what? toes, because foot. Yukhallilu, he's rubbing, yani, with water between his toes. Al asabi' asabi'ahu, rubbing. Yukhallilu asabi'ahu, the toes with water. Yani, like taking this small finger, pinky, and rubbing it in between the toes, making sure that you get those spaces in between the toes. And if you do that well, and then you put on your socks, you don't have to take them off again and do that again. You don't have to take them off again. Yani, for a day and a night. For a day and a night. Yani, from the time you make a new wudu and you wipe, from that point, for 24 hours you can wipe. You don't have to keep taking your socks off every time. And this is a taysir from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ease that He's given to us, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used it. So we should use it also. Okay, any question about this description of al-wudu? Any description about this? Any discussion or question? Yeah.
Point number six. يَغْسِلُ وَجْهَهُ ثَلَاثًا وَيُخَلِّلُ لِحْيَتَهُ بِالْمَاءِ.
نعم.
الخلال هذا يعني يخلف ويخلل اللحية بالماء يعني أحيانا
should a person do this sometimes?
Yes, or should it be all the time? Because I had read somewhere that it's يعني أحيانا that you do it sometimes.
الله أعلم. I don't know that it's sometimes. يعني in the hadith, يعني it seems as though that was the sunnah. But perhaps it may be sometimes, because a lot of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who narrated the hadith meticulously didn't mention it. So maybe it is understood from this that it wasn't something that the Prophet ﷺ always did, but rather he did it sometimes. But it is narrated authentically that he did it. So, yani, perhaps that may be the reason, yani, that the view that it doesn't have to be done all the time, but rather it can be done sometimes. Most of the narrations that mention the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Bukhari, Muslim, they don't mention it. It's not mentioned, and that could be an indication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not always do it. And there are a lot of hadith like this, and some things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrated that he did, and a lot of the companions didn't narrate it. And some of the scholars like Sheikh Al-Albani, he will add to the narration, he will say ahyanan. A lot of times he will say ahyanan, meaning this is something that's not found in all of the other hadith. So that means that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it all the time. So ahyana means sometimes. Now.
Well, my question is, for the grammar question, I was trying to figure out why Salasan has
Tanween? Or why is it Mansub?
Mansub, I was saying maybe Sal or Mafulullahu as a figure.
No, because it is explaining, yani, how many times it is happening. So you say, يعني ثلاثاً, you say مرتين, you say مرتين واحداً, it's mansoob, because it's explaining the amount of times that something is happening. Now. Well, that's what's mentioned. يعني that's what most of the scholars mentioned, using this particular finger. يعني in any case, يعني it is a sunnah, right? So, a person does it to the best of their ability. If you're able, alhamdulillah. If a person is not able, or they found difficulty or whatever, they do the best they can. يعني فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And then after that, يعني, as long as you have tried to do the best you can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks and pardons. Yes, this one, pinky. For rubbing between the toes. When you wash the feet, rubbing between the toes. Mention the neck is not... Okay,
no,
okay.
All the
okay, the sisters have reminded us, very important reminder, mention the neck is not included when you do the head in wudu. Yes, we forgot to mention this, very important point. Yani, the neck is not washed in wudu. There's no confirmation, there's no affirmation, there's no basis for wiping the neck in wudu. Most of the books of wudu that are not yani meticulous in following the sunnah, they mention wiping the neck. Right. And even some of them say that you wipe the neck with the back of your hands after you wipe over the head. There's no basis for this in the sunnah. It's not legislated in the sharia. It has no basis. There's no yani source for it. It's just yani something that became a common practice amongst people. And we should, alhamdulillah, they have reminded us.
It's
Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward our sisters for reminding us. Wiping the neck, when you wipe the head, wiping the neck is not part of wudu. Quickly, because we only have a few minutes remaining.
So now in reference to wiping the head, now,
yeah. Naam, because any, there's a lot of difference of opinion. This is fiqh, right?
Yeah.
But what is confirmed in Bukhari, in the authentic hadith, that describes how the Prophet ﷺ wiped his head, he said that he began from the muqaddimah, yani the beginning of his hairline, the front of the head, and he wiped all the way to the back, to the nap or nape of the neck. I don't know this word, how you pronounce it correctly in English. Yani at the border of the neck, where the neck connects to the head, you stop there, and then he came back again to where he started from in the front. That's narrated in authentic hadith. So that's what's best. And there's some lot of difference of opinion about this, but this is not the place for that. Okay, let's just try to finish. We only have a couple of minutes remaining. Okay, so we discussed this in some detail. Is there any question about the words or anything in the actual description of wudu? If there's not, then I just want to read the instructions for the exercises that come after that, and then we'll come back to the description. Yani after the line 9 says tamarin. Tamarin is the plural of what? Tamrin means exercises. The first exercise says uktub sifat al wudu. Write the description of wudu. Meaning the first question is you write out the description of wudu. Write it out. Second question, mal a'dha. What are the members? Yani the parts of the body allati which yaghsiluha al mutawaddi. Yani, al-mutawaddi' is the person who's performing ablution. What are the parts of the body that the person performing ablution must wash them? Fil wudu, in ablution. We're on same page 4 at the bottom of the page. The last line says, what are the members or parts of the body that the one performing ablution must wash? In ablution. Wa kam marratan yaghsiluha. And how many times must he wash them? Okay, so this question has two parts. What are the parts of the body that have to be washed in wudu? Like in other words, the palms of the hand, the face, the hands up to the elbow, the head, and so on, ears, feet. What are the parts of the body that have to be washed in wudu? And secondly, how many times must each of them be washed? And we know that, yani we mentioned 3 times here, but yani there's authentic hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam washed each part of the body 2 times, and even 1 time. Yani we're taking the head out of this, right? Head is a different discussion. Yani, but as far as the other parts, he washed them 3, he washed them 2, washed them 1. All of this is sahih, authentic, no question about it. So all of that is permissible. We're talking about the best form, if a person has sufficient water and everything else is equal, is to wash them 3 times. Okay? That's the second question. On page 5, third question, it says alam or alima. This word is a misprint, okay? It should be illama. Illama. I'm sorry. It should be ilama. Yani hamza with kasra, lam alif, and ha meem with fatta. Ilama, which is yani ila and ma. Ila to where? Ila ma to what? Yani they misprinted the word there. That's why I'm just going to make yani call to your attention. That is a misprint there, and it should be ilama. Yani which means ila ma, the preposition ila ma, yani up to where or how far. Ila ma yaghsilu yadayhi, up to where or how far does he wash his hands. Yani when the person is washing their hands, not the first time, the kafe, but when they're washing their hands after that in wudu, up to where, yani up to the elbows, right? Number 4, same thing, that word should be ila ma. And up to where does he wash his 2 feet? And he washed them up to what? Up to the ankles. Question number 5. مَا الْعَضْوُ الَّذِي يَمْسَحُهُ مَا الْعَضْوُ. Yani what is the member or the part of the body الَّذِي which يَمْسَحُهُ, which he wipes. Does not wash, but he wipes. وَكَمْ مَرَّةً يَمْسَحُهُ, and how many times does he wipe it? Number 6. ضَعَ, put fi kulli faragin, in each empty or blank space, fi ma, in what ya'ati follows kalimatan munasibatan, an appropriate or suitable word. So there's a sentence here, right? And there are blank spaces, and each blank space We have to put in what should be there in terms of wudu. How are we describing wudu? يَغْسِلُ الْمُتَوَضِّعُ يَدَيْهِ, yani the person who's performing ablution washes his two hands, إِلَى what? Up to the elbows. And he washes what up to the ankles? His feet. And he wipes what? Along with yani his head, along with the ears, yani, and so on like this. Okay, so you just fill in the blanks. And then part B says, اقرأ المثال التالي. We're going to do all this in the next class. But I just want you to have a chance to know what it's talking about, so during the week you could do it. Whatever you can do, inshallah, we'll do it in the class next week. B says, اقرأ المثال التالي. Read the following example. ثم أكمل الناقصة على غراره. And then complete what is missing. ناقص. What is missing? On according to the same pattern. The example says, غسل حامد رجله. In the singular. يعني حامد washed his foot. And then, in the next, going across, we want to change it to the dual. غَسَلَ حَامِدٌ رِجْلَيْهِ. He washed his foot, he washed his 2 feet. So this is what we want to do for each one of these sentences. رَفَعَ بِلَالٌ يَدَهُ. Bilal raised his hand, we want to change it to Bilal raised his 2 hands. يَعْنِي بَعَ عَبَّاسٌ بَيْتَهُ. Abbas بَعَ. What did he do? Sold his house. We want to say he sold his 2 houses. غَسَلَ مُحَمَّدٌ ثَوْبَهُ. Muhammad washed his garment. We want to say he washed his 2 garments. So this exercise is dealing with the مُثَنَّ, dual. That is in إِضَافَة to a pronoun, so the noon is deleted. Okay? So يَدَهُ becomes يَدَيْهِ, and بَيْتَهُ becomes بَيْتَيْهِ, and ثَوْبَهُ becomes ثَوْبَيْهِ, and so on like this. On the next page, 6, says اقرأ المثال التالي. We're going to do all these exercises in the next class. بإذن الله تعالى. اقرأ المثال التالي ثم أكمل الناقص على غراره. Read the following example and then complete what is missing on the same pattern. Okay, this is the same type of exercise, but in this one we're going to see يعني a preposition, and following the preposition a singular word is going to be changed to a dual word. But there's no إضافة in this case, so the noon is not going to be deleted. In the previous example, because the dual word was in the idalfa to a pronoun, the noon was deleted. In this case, the noon is not going to be deleted. The example they gave us, خَرَجَ التُلَّابُ مِنَ الْفَصْلِ. The students went out of the classroom. We're going to change it to خَرَجَ التُلَّابُ مِنَ الْفَصْلَيْنِ. The students went out of the 2 classrooms. And صَلَّيْتُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. I prayed in the masjid. We're going to change it to I prayed in the 2 masjids. كَتَبَ التُلَّابُ فِي الدَّفْتَرِ. The at-talibu fi daftar, the student wrote in the notebook. We're going to change it to the student wrote in the 2 notebooks. اشتريتو هذا القلم بريالين. I bought this pen with 1 rial. We're going to change it to I bought it for 2 rials. And the third exercise is hati ماضي الأفعال الآتية. Give the past tense of the following verbs. So each one of these verbs is a mudari verb. They want you to give the past tense. And the last one is hati جمع الأسماء الآتية. يعني give the plural of the following words. They gave us singular words. They want us to give the plurals. So these are the exercises for this first lesson, the description of wudu. We're going to go through the description of wudu in the beginning of the next class, and then we're going to do the exercises, write out as many of them as you are able to do. Whatever you're not able to do, inshallah, we'll fill them in the class. If you don't find, and if you find difficulty in doing them, don't worry about it. In the next class, inshallah, we're going to do them together. The most important thing, though, that everybody should be doing is trying to read this description of ablution, trying to understand it, trying to retain it so that you can explain it to somebody in Arabic. So if an Arab comes to you and he doesn't know how to make wudu, and don't think that is far-fetched. You'll be able to explain him how to make wudu properly in Arabic. And he doesn't know English. And he doesn't know wudu either. He's really miskeen. So you're going to explain how to make wudu, and you're going to explain it in Arabic, inshallah. Okay, please read it a few times, try to understand it, and make your intention in studying this not just to learn Arabic, because there are 2 sides that we want to focus on, right? One side is the lughawi side, and the other side is the shar'i side, and it's sharia, that we want to learn these things properly and thoroughly. Even though we all know how to make wudu, we all know how to make tayammum, we all know how to make ghusl, but yani, we can do better. we can learn a little more about this, inshallah. We'll learn in Arabic, and we'll learn Arabic at the same time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.